I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Bogey or Better Podcast. I am Dylan, and we've got Cam as well. Cam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, bud. How was your round today?
Good. I'm playing a little better than I did last week in Charlotte. I shot a 41 today, so it's not terrible, but just been having some mishits with my irons, but off a tee, feels super confident, and my short game is feeling really good too. So, just twinking with a little bit of stuff with my irons, but feeling pretty good.
Yeah, the new irons.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Carly played incredibly well today. She shot a 50,
which is that's impressive.
Yeah. She maybe had two bad shots off the tee. Everything else was nice and straight, like 150 yards right down the middle of the fairway.
I mean, and if our shots were down the middle every time, I'd take 150 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. And something about her shots, like even when she mishits her irons, they roll and roll and roll. I don't know if it's just charwood or what it is, but it just rolls so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, she played really well. She's just working on a few things, trying to fix her backswing a little bit. And she's interesting the way I have to explain things to her. Like, I don't know, the way things are said to her, you got to find interesting ways to put it for her to get it. I don't know. It's funny. But
yeah, I mean, found she some doesn't videos play that often.
Have helped her. Yeah.
It's tough to describe to somebody what they're doing when they don't understand maybe, like, the effects of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't... I remember trying to tell Sarah certain things, and it was tough to describe because it was, like, talking about path or swing plane. Mm-hmm. Like, that phrase means nothing, you know? And then you got to simplify it. But as long as they're making contact and they're having fun, that's really all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. But so it was nice. It was just, you know, took us 3 hours to play.
I can't believe that.
And it's just and we're walking and we're waiting. Yeah. We're waiting
should
on people
never.
And we're walking.
Should never happen.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Besides that, it was good. And me and Tony are actually going to play tomorrow.
We're gonna
practice round in. Yeah.
Nice. So I'm hoping to play with Adam.
Making
soon.
A bunch of changes to his swing, and so we're gonna see how it helps him on the course.
Cool. The swing looked good when I saw. A lot more controlled in the back.
Yeah.
And that's going to make a big difference. So our round will be real fun. Alternate shot will make it way more interesting.
Yeah,
I think definitely. So anyways.
Oh, but, it definitely will.
But this week, we had some awful news.
It was like a bad dream, man.
It really was.
Tiger Woods in a single vehicle rollover in California, driving his Genesis SUV.
I mean, sponsorship like to the T.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just don't know. I just when is he gonna just catch a break?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one thing after another, and it's spaced out just so perfectly. Like, just every couple of years, just something bad happens.
Yeah. Why is he driving himself?
That's my big question. Why? I mean, he's almost a billionaire. And I know there are so many people, so many celebrities that are way less rich than him who have drivers.
Yeah.
I just don't know why he's driving himself. He looked really tired at the Genesis.
Yeah.
And he had big bags. And we all know, especially from the documentary, we all know that he has insomnia. He has issues with sleeping. So, and just coming off of back surgery, I'm sure that's not helping him sleep either. So I have a feeling he was just tired, and I don't know. I just,
yeah, wasn't paying as much attention. Yeah, listening to a couple other shows, you know, they were talking about how, you know, awfully timed I think this was with the documentary coming out, and how we as a people, not me and you specifically, but so-called fans of Tiger, how just tore into him when he first, yeah, Scandal first came out. Tore into him and, you know, just wrecked him. And then when this news came out, because all of those things were re-put into everybody's mind again, a lot of people's comments and things like that on posts about Tiger Woods was very just, like, aggressive that,
yeah,
you know, he had his redemption, you know. And what we do to people in fame like him was, to see, was like a little jarring, because clearly it's not being investigated as being under the influence of anything. It's just an accident. But I will admit, when we first talked about it, I was worried that it might have had something to do with pain medicine or something like that because of his past, but there's been no indication for it. So I don't know why people tend to fully believe that he's just this awful person.
Yeah, I was, in the back of my head, I was a little concerned that, not even if he had taken a bunch of medication, but I was just concerned that, you know, what if the doctor had prescribed him something and it was just found in the car? Or something,
yeah,
or, you know, mm-hmm, just something to give the media just an inch. But thankfully, nothing was found. No substances or anything were found in the car. He was coherent and you know, very lucid, even though, you know, his leg was broken into a million pieces when the paramedics got there. And once I heard that, that's all I needed to hear. And I didn't think about it again. But if you saw the press conference with the sheriff's department and highway patrol and everything, the media is just filled with such sleaze bags.
They really are.
I mean, I heard the question, you know, was he under the influence 1,000 times? And
yeah,
I just like don't they understand same, why.
They asked the same iteration, like the same question with different words. Mm. Like, and they had to continue to repeat. And they, you could tell how careful they were in not speculating. And I haven't watched many press conferences with law enforcement and fire department, but it was noticeable how the media was trying to get them to speculate, because that's how you get stories, mm-hmm, and that is what it is. But you could tell how much they were treating that situation light, you know, not lightly in that sense, but not speculating on certain things that could, you know, even they may end up being liable at the end if they were to say something that was untrue. So,
right,
which is good, because he just needs to recover. He doesn't have to deal with, if he didn't do anything wrong, he should have nothing, you know, he should just be able to recover in peace.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing is, for all he's been through with his back, which obviously his back was caused by his career in golf, as well as his training exercises and the way, you know, the way he trained. And that almost stopped him from having a normal life on its own. All I want right now is for him to be able to still have a normal life and not have that taken away from him just by a freak accident like this. Once we see that he's going to live a normal life, at least, then let's talk about, okay, can he build the strength back up to get on the tour and play again?
Yeah, I totally agree. I you know, my thoughts when I first saw, which a lot of people were, was, you know, Kobe vibes.
Yeah.
From the look of the accident, and it was real, you know, yeah. that accident had happened a lot earlier in the day, and nobody knew. It was took a long time for that information to get out, get disseminated through everywhere. So it, you know, it just looked like he was dead. You know, that's yeah. that's what it looked like, because there was no information. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't have any connection to Kobe. Like, I was not a fan right. of the Lakers. I was a Celtics fan, so I tend to go against yeah. Kobe. So it was extremely sad, but I didn't have the connection that a lot of people did when he tragically passed. So, but assuming the worst, because that's all the information we had, it was crazy how much that hit me, because mm-hmm. he was in the middle stages of his redemption.
Yeah.
And regardless, yes, he had a lot more golf left in him, but besides the point, you really got to see his relationship with at least his son. You know, I'm yeah. sure his daughter as well is greatly improved, but we finally got to see that and see that he's almost he's not the same Tiger he was. He's now the dad, and to worry, you know, because me and you, we have a connection with Tiger. Tiger's bigger than golf, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, the greats in any sport, Tom Brady, you know, you're a huge Peyton Manning fan. They're the greats of football, but they are not bigger than football.
Right.
Tiger Woods
yeah.
is, like, he's not golf. He's greater than, he supersedes all that. And you could tell when all that happened, there was news streams everywhere. It wasn't just ESPN.
It was, oh, yeah, no, it was
on
it was
everywhere. Everywhere. And yeah. it was sad, but I do, you know, he's alive. He's going to recover, but I do like how Rory's even saying that he just needs yeah. to be able to live a life and be with his kids. He, you know, golf is not in the equation, and it shouldn't be, because he has played through pain for so many years. And unfortunately, if it is over, we can look back to the greatness of his career. You know, it wasn't ending on a slump of no wins ever. You know, he was getting better and better. So we've got some good golf that he's left out there.
He has nothing left to prove. He has proven yeah. he is the greatest player that has ever lived. I understand that he doesn't have Jack's majors, but honestly, to me, it just doesn't matter. I'm sorry, if you put Tiger and Jack, if you take Jack when he was 25 and you take Tiger when he was 25, Tiger's going to win 5 times out of 5. It's just going to happen. He's a better golfer. He is. He was in a more, especially towards the middle and, you know, present time of his career, he's been up against true athletes.
Yeah.
2019, yeah. you have players like Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson,
Bryson
playing, who there was nobody playing like that in the 70s and 80s when Jack was playing. They were all just normal guys who played golf. Yeah, they were professionals, but they weren't athletes. They were golfers. Yeah. Back then, golfers were golfers. Now, today, golfers are athletes. And so he's just a better golfer, and he has nothing left to prove. He is he's already in the Hall of Fame. and he has nothing left to prove. So even if this is tragically the way his career ends, which I'm gonna hope that it's not, but it's okay if it is.
Yeah.
Because he has proven and done everything he needs to do.
Yeah. For this I'd rather he live pain-free from at least this accident yeah. than try and come back through pain with pain and play more golf. It yeah, does you said if he has been riddled by injury, if his back had held up, and part of it is the way that he swung, if he had grown up maybe in this time, probably would have been different. He would have been able to recover, you know, modern science, things like that would have been at his disposal. But I feel like if certain things with his knee, with his back hadn't occurred, I'm pretty sure he would have beaten Jack a long time ago. That was just the yeah. track he was on until he got those injuries. And he was out for a while, and So, like you said, he doesn't have anything to prove. He's the grace. He's transcended almost three generations now. And so that's why, you know, me and you talked about we wanted to do our top five personal Tiger moments.
Yep.
Now, I haven't seen yours. You haven't seen mine. So we're just going to go through it. We could each go back and forth, go five, okay. You know, four, yeah. Three. So when, I'll start. How about that? I'll give you my okay. Number five moment. So okay.
Sounds good.
My number five moment, and I don't tend to go back because, you know, I mean, he won his first Masters the year I was born. Like, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. His early wins, I only see, you know, replays of. I don't get to actually, I didn't watch them personally. So while those are great, a lot of mine are more, you know, this side of the 2000s. But the first mm-hmm. one, so, well, number five is the 2008 U.S. Open, which I think deserves to be on anybody's top five list. But mm-hmm. the reason, obviously because of, you know, his body, but if you rewatch that chip-in on 17, where he has to not put weight on his, like, broken leg, but needs yeah. to stay up. If you watch that chip, it should have rolled all the way off the green.
Oh yeah.
Because for sure. It took one bounce and just landed in. And yep. if you watch, you know, you rewatch it, Tiger just is laughing. He pulls his hat down and laughs into his face because, like, he knew, like, it's almost like, you know, when you like thin an iron or something, you hit a bad shot, but it, like, rolls right up to the hole. And it yep. was like, I mean, it worked out, but I don't, you know, I'm not happy about it. That's kind of the vibe.
I don't deserve this, but yeah. I'll take it.
That's kind of the vibe I got from him. And
yeah.
from rewatching that, I was like, oh, it was just so good because, you know, he's that great that even his bad, like, that shot shouldn't have went in, but because it's Tiger, yeah. of course, it takes one bounce. So that was my number five, if you go to that 2008 U.S. Open on 17.
So I did go back, because I don't know, I've watched so many Tiger highlights through the years. So I went, my number five is the 2002 U.S. Open, where he won by 15. Pebble Beach, I think the average score on Friday was a bogey, and Tiger shot like a 67 that day on that day or something like that. But by Sunday, by the end, he was minus 14, I guess. And everyone, I think second place was plus two.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, right?
Is it the 2000?
That's what I have on here, that was 2000. Oh.
Okay, well,
could be either.
Yeah, but yeah, he won by 15, and yeah, that's a young, was he 20?
He was 26. Yeah,
26-year-old Tiger. He was just so good, and the reason why he dominated like that, one of the main reasons, was his length off the tee. Even through the wind, and the wind in his face, he was still driving the ball probably 270, and everyone else is probably driving at 230, 240 with a driver. And he was just so much longer than everyone when he started. It was like he was from the future. It was insane. The little tiny metal heads that he was hitting with, that's probably a little bigger than the three woods we use now. He was just killing it. And yeah, he played that course completely textbook and just completely destroyed. So that's my number five.
Yeah. That's a perfect number five because that's my number four. And I re-looked it up. It is 2000. It was the 2000.
2000. Okay.
Mm-hmm, it was 2000. So, cause that was going to say, that's the one where I go all the way back because I didn't see that personally, you know, on TV or anything, yeah. but when you look at just pure domination, if you, so I've got the scores up here, in the first round, Tiger started 6 under, and then you had, which is funny, this guy's still playing, Miguel Angel Jimenez, still doing his thing. Minus five. John Huston was minus four. You had three people at minus three. Nick Faldo was in minus two. So first round's pretty average. I mean, he's winning, but he's not blowing anybody away.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the second round comes in. The weather came in, made it really difficult, because at the end, people were shooting 70, 74, 75s. Tiger shot a 69 that day. And then third round, Tiger shot a 71, but everybody else on the leaderboard.
Which was par, right?
Right. Everybody, yep, exactly. Okay. He was minus eight twice. So so he parred his third round, but everybody except for Ernie Els shot over par
on the leaderboard. Easy.
Yep. And the difference is Tiger's minus eight, Ernie Els in second place is plus two. So, which is just outrageous. And then you look at the final round, how it ended up. Ernie Els and Miguel Angel Jimenez ended up tying for second at plus three. So they, Ernie Els played a 72. It. And then Tiger shot a 67, winning by 15. And if you look at only 10 other golfers posted a score of plus seven or better.
Wow. That,
and Tiger was minus 12. It's almost like when I'm playing PGA Tour 2K21.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm really feeling it. The driver's just crisp and the putter's good, and I'm just destroying Justin Thomas and everything. But it is like, this is so odd. You know, that was the one time. It almost, what was it last year? Was it last year when Dustin Johnson just destroyed everybody and everybody was playing like for second place? He was... Was it 17 strokes or 15 strokes?
I think it was like 17. I think it was like 17, yeah.
Yeah, he shot like two like 60s or something, and nobody was catching him. It felt like that when you go back and look at it, where everybody else was just hacking around. And it almost was similar conditions to Wingfoot and how tough it was to play in the earlier rounds. Was that when Colin won? Did he? No, he won the PGA.
Bryson won, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I felt like Wingfoot was trying to make Bryson not win because it was such bad rough. They were trying to make the distance game unnecessary and be accurate. And it was just funny that, of course, Bryson still ends up winning it because he's still top five in putting. So you're not going to... He's going to go up and down every time. But regardless, that was what it felt like if you look back at this U.S. Open, that all these guys are playing a different game. Tiger ends up minus 12. So, yeah, these guys were shooting 200, overall score of 287 was second place, and Tiger was 272. It's just outrageous. Yeah. So that was my number four. What was yours?
My number four is the 2001 World Cup.
Mm.
So they, it was his chip in so that he was playing with, David Duval, and they were coming down the final hole, and they were one down. So they needed to win this hole to make it into a playoff. David Duval flew his approach shot over the green into the rough on a downslope. The pin is in the back of the green, so no green to work with at all.
Right.
And Tiger's got a chip in the rough down the hill on a slant. And the announcer's like, does he have the magic to do it? And he hits this incredible chip that just hits the bank perfectly, takes one bounce, spins, and rolls right into the cup.
Oh.
And it was just, I mean, it's probably my favorite looking chip I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was just beautiful. And you know what the funny part is? They lost the playoff. But nobody remember. Nobody. I don't know who won that match. Nope. I don't know who they were playing. Nobody remembers. All they remember is that incredible chip shot.
Yeah. But people knew he could do it. So that's clutch. The thing.
Yeah.
We're saying, does it?
Yeah.
it was not totally unexpected. And
no.
I feel like there's not really anybody around right now. Jordan Spieth almost got to that point where his short game was that incredible, mm-hmm. where we yeah. believed he could do it. He, you know, if he pulled off a crazy shot like that, it was possible. But nobody, even what's his name? He was in early Tiger era. Steve Balistra. How do you pronounce that last name? He's like a.
I know who you're talking about, right?
Yeah. I've never heard his last name pronounced. So, but he is him and Tiger going at it. Short game would be fun to watch because that was another early era that would be interesting. But that's a good number four. I didn't have that on there, but that's a good one. My number three would be 2006, the British Open and at Royal Liverpool, which was the one that the major 2 months after Earl died. And everyone knows that final picture, that video of him, you know, hitting that putt. He gets excited, and then Steve comes over and just Tiger starts losing mm-hmm. it. And if you look back, there wasn't a lot of drama. Tiger was up 3 strokes like the whole time. Like it was an easy win for him. But that was the first major that Earl was not, you know, there were times where Earl wasn't in, you know, wasn't there personally, but Tiger knew that Earl was watching. So the first one where he's almost on his own and it's emotional. Tiger plays so aggressive, especially at that time. I mean, it's still 2006. Mm-hmm. So he's not he's not what he is now. He's still the aggressive Tiger that shows no emotion and is who he was back then. And to see him break down like that because of his dad was just heartbreaking. And but it's just it showed that he was still a human. Like, that was a little moment in his wins. You know, remember his first win where he went and hugged his dad and that little moment? And, like, then it full circled into this. And, oh, I just love that. That's a huge moment for me. So that was my number three.
My number three is the 2008 U.S. Open with a broken leg and a torn ACL.
Yep.
On the 72nd hole. Stuck it about, I think it was like 10, 11 feet. And I think the announcer was like, there's no way he doesn't make this. And he, you know, put it in. And I remember watching it. And the announcer was like, expect anything different?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what he did. He was just so clutch. And, you know, I think Rocco was like, I knew he was going to make it. And I think Rocco at that point, he said that he thought he had a chance. But I think at that point, deep down, he was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think the only way I was going to win this is if he would have missed that putt.
Yeah. It's so funny that Tiger had a broken leg and a torn knee, and you still couldn't beat him. No. Like,
and you still couldn't drive it past him.
Yeah. I personally had a torn ACL. Swinging sound like I know the feeling. I remember I lived my life for a couple months without getting it fixed, and little twisting things scared me so bad because I had done things without thinking and felt it slip and all the things that he was feeling, but he was playing a turn. Like it's incredible. That is a huge moment, but I liked the rest of my moments are big. That's why I also loved that U.S. Open, but the rest of my moments are a lot more closer in time. So my number two is, and this isn't like a huge thing, but it's the 2018 Tour Championship.
The reason is
because he hadn't won in 5 years at that point.
Yep.
But he still had a good season. I mean, he was in the Tour Championship. So, he was playing well, but he couldn't get it done. And, you know, he's older. Who knew if he still had it in him? but he won that tour championship, and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing is, he didn't win the FedEx Cup after winning that final championship. So 2019 and on, they changed the rules that if you win the tour champ, the way that they set it up, if you win the tour championship, you win the FedEx Cup.
Because, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so ever since that championship, ever since Tiger won and lost the FedEx Cup, they changed it. So now you'll see, like last year, remember Dustin started the tour championship minus 10, and then everybody else was like minus 8, minus 6. Like, they start, and that's based on their FedEx Cup points. And then whoever, so Dustin obviously had the most advantage because he had the most points. So whoever wins that tournament ends up with winning.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Right. So that happened starting in 2019, which I thought was so interesting because you got to think it was because of Tiger that they did that. Because Justin Rose, I think he placed like fourth or fifth and won the FedEx Cup. And I only think that that change happens because of Tiger Woods. I don't think any other player winning it and not winning the FedEx Cup would result in a change to something they've been doing for, you know, years and years, that they make a change like that. Because it's got to be from Tiger.
I can see that.
So that was a big that was a big once I really dug into why that happened, and him winning finally on the tour that year, even though he had played so well and not gotten it done, he finally won. But then, I guess, you know, the outcry, the fact that how can he do so well, win the final tournament, and then Justin Rose gets the FedEx Cup trophy. Yeah. You know, it was
nobody likes Justin Rose either.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it could have been anybody at that point. But I just thought it was so cool that they, it was almost like a Shaq moment, you know, where they changed the rules because of how you play and things like that. So that was my number two. I had to look into that one because I wanted to get all my information right. But that was my number two.
My number two is the 2019 Masters win.
That's your number two?
That's my number two.
Oh my goodness.
That is my number two. Yeah. I don't think you're gonna, you would never guess my number one in a million years.
No, I guess not.
Yeah, my number two is the 2019 Masters win. I mean, it was just beautiful. I mean, I watched every single day of that tournament, and I remember laughing so hard on the fourth round, seeing everyone crumble.
Yes.
I just...
Watching Francisco Molinari.
Yeah, he crumbled. I think Ricky Fowler was in the race. Ricky
Tony
crumbled.
Finau, too.
Tony Finau, which Tony and Ricky both, they'll crumble no matter who's in the lead usually. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just especially just being close on a Sunday with Tiger Woods, that just has to be an insane feeling. And your nerves are already so high, just that added to it. Yeah, that... You're just not gonna win at that point. It was just beautiful. It was perfect. I think it's just extra special for it to be at the Masters, because wasn't that his first major win
in 11 years? Yeah. Oh yeah, no, yeah. Tiger's first major. At all. Oh yeah. His first was the 97 Masters. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's just a really beautiful circle of life there. You know, he got to hug his son afterwards, and that was like hugging his dad when he won in 97, and it was just, oh, I mean, everything about it was just beautiful.
I 100% agree, and that's why it's my number one. I basically built this list, you know, 1 to 5. I knew what my number one was, and I'm interested to hear, you know, what your number one is, but for, you know, all the things you said, the reason really I honestly didn't know this about Tiger until I did some more research for the episode, that Tiger had not won a major where he wasn't the 54-hole leader. So he had never come back or he never overtook somebody to win a major. And I didn't know that. I mean, I feel like any time he was behind, everyone knew he had a chance. But when it came to major, he always was the leader coming into Sunday. He just would never lose it. But this Masters, he was two back from the lead. And winning that took that, like, very, very, very small asterisk on his career, I think. If you had put a bow on his career, that little stat might have come out at some point.
Yeah.
But I had not known that. Did you know that? That was the case for him? Yeah.
I did not. He seems pretty insane.
Right? But you look back at all his major wins, it's, you know, he was just playing phenomenal at, you know, throughout every round. Coming into Saturday was his round. Saturday was his round.
And it just showed that he had nerves of steel. Yep. That he was just focused and he just did not choke. He was not a choker.
Yeah. But to be able to now have that come from behind, you know, I mean, he was only two back. So it wasn't like, you know, he was five or something crazy, but he had never won a major without holding the lead after Saturday. And so to have that, like you said, when he grabbed Charlie, and I know exactly where I was in the car watching it because I had to leave the house for something. So I was watching it on my phone because, you know, he was coming around the turn. I was seeing Francisco was choking. I think Brooks Koepka even had dropped it. There was somebody, people kept putting balls into Ray's Creek. And I'm just watching him drop and drop. And I'm like, this may happen. And I pulled over. I just pulled over because I had to watch. So for like an hour straight, I'm on the side of the road just watching. And I know that's how everybody was. When Tiger is in his Sunday red and he is on the prowl, okay, regardless of if he's in the lead or if he's a couple shots back, everybody watches. Everybody.
Absolutely. Oh, I've always said people would rather see Tiger Woods shoot a 75 than watch Bryson DeChambeau shoot a 64.
Yeah.
He is just captivating, no matter how bad he's playing.
Yep. And I love watching golf. So do you. But if Tiger's playing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm changing my weekend.
I'm clearing my schedule.
Yeah. I'm watching it when I'm playing golf. Like, you know, like if there's a tournament going on, I'll watch it when I can and then I'll do that. But if Tiger's playing, it could be when he won the Zozo, you know, like it was just it just really didn't, it was like I'm watching all the highlights because he's just bigger than golf and we all want him to succeed. You know, once everybody got on the tearing him down train. And then those same people, they said it in the documentary, which was one of the few points I actually liked. The same people that tore him down and got on him for, you know, being a liar and, you know, cheating on his wife, which is what everybody in that sport does anyways. But regardless, you know, made him out to be this awful person because of the image he portrayed. You know, whatever your feelings is on that. But the same people that jumped on that train cheered him on when he won. And it was like, at that point, he's not doing it for fans. You know, he could care less about the fans. He's doing, and I remember him talking, he would rather win. He's almost like similar to the Brooks mentality. He doesn't care about champion. Mm-hmm. He'll take a major. And he could care less about tournament. Absolutely. So that is my number one Tiger moment. Is the one I was fully attentive to, you know, at this stage in my life and how golf has taken over a big chunk of my life. And being able to watch that, finally see him win something major. I mean, it was 11 years. So he hadn't won since 2008. That's my number one. So I'm very interested to hear what your number one is.
Before I get to that, I wanted to say you were talking about, you know, that stat of, you know, always having the lead going into Sunday. I love that stat But I think my favorite stat of Tiger's is how long he was number one in the world. I think that record will never be broken.
No.
I don't think it'll ever be broken. He, for a consecutive 281 weeks, so a little over 5 years straight, he was number one.
Yeah.
A total of 683 weeks, he was at number one. 13 years.
Yeah. Never will change.
Absolutely insane. But yeah, so are you ready for my number one?
I am. I mean,
you're gonna have to build it up. Weird. You're gonna look at me really weird when I say this.
All right, hold on. All right, I'm ready.
The 2008 Bay Hill Invitational.
Bay Hill. That sounds familiar.
At the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yeah, I looked at the same thing. Why? Why does that? Why did that matter? Because I thought the same thing.
I was 12 years old. I'm sitting on my couch with my dad, watching this tournament. I had just gotten into golf. I had just went to my first par 3 course and played 9 holes. And I loved it, and I fell in love immediately. And I knew I wanted to play golf.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the couch. Tiger is about to hit this birdie putt, this 20-foot birdie putt, to win the big championship. And he sinks it, and the crowd goes wild. He's pumping double fists in the air. He's just going crazy. And I'm just sitting at the TV just stimulated to my mind's maximum capacity, just watching this. And I don't know what it was, but that excitement just hit me in a way that no other sport. I mean, I've watched my favorite team win the Super Bowl. I've, you know, seen a lot of great things in sports, but nothing for some reason has ever hit me the way that moment did. And that solidified my love for the sport. And it has, I mean, golf has brought me endless joy since then. And there have been years where, you know, I didn't play that much. And then there are years like, you know, 2020 and 2021 where I'm playing every week.
Yeah.
But no matter what, golf has brought me so much joy, and a lot of it has to do with Tiger Woods and that moment. For some reason, the 2008 Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill.
Yeah.
It was like the starting point of everything for me with this sport. That'll just always be my favorite moment.
That's so good. That's a great moment. And Tiger loves that Invitational because he's won.
Yeah. He's won it
twice since it's been the Arnold Palmer. And let's see, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, so he's won, I think he's won it 5 or 6 times already.
Yeah.
Since his.
Because he won 2008 and then 2009.
Yep, and then 2012 and then 2013. Yeah. And then he won 2000, 2001, 2002, year. And 2003. He won 4.
2013 was.
I think that's the one that I'm thinking of when you said the Bay Hill Invitational, or the Arnold Palmer. When I was sitting down to write, I wanted to make a list based on just my memory and then do some research and see where those connected. And I was like, why does the Arnold Palmer tournament, why does that hit me? And I think it's the same thing, except I'm a couple years later than you. I think it was the 2013 where I was, you know, I've been into golf, like you said, my whole life, and golf was a connection point with me and my dad. We played a lot. We played every sport, but that was a sport that we played a lot together, and watching golf, you know, we would watch when Tiger was playing. That was a thing, you know, I wasn't as into watching it until Tiger was playing. And for some reason, that Arnold Palmer Invitational, Tiger plays in it. You know, he always plays when he's healthy, he always plays in it because he always wins it. And just to see, I think he's won it 8 times. That's the number. He's won it 8 times. Which is just outrageous.
Most players haven't won 8 tournaments.
Yeah. He's won the same tournament 8 times. I think that's really the root of this episode was the connection that we have with Tiger is our connection to golf. And
yeah.
the second that I found out and saw some of those images, there was that a break in that connection I felt, because that's where the love for that sport came in for me anyways.
Yeah, thankfully at the time when I found out about it, it was already said that he was alive at the hospital.
Yeah.
Thankfully, so I already knew he was alive, so that was good at least.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got that. I just got a text that said that Tiger was in an awful accident and a picture of his car. And yeah, so I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, we're all getting ready thinking he's going to be, you know, he's rehabbing his back. And I thought about his back, too. His poor back. I thought about his back. Whatever, you know, his legs, whatever happened to his legs, you know, he'll have. But I was like, his poor back. He's not even swinging yet until he gets his MRI. Yeah. We're thinking about the Masters coming up, you know. This PGA Tour, I don't know. I was excited. I felt like Tiger was going to use the anger from this documentary that HBO put out and just go out and just, you know, stick some darts on the green. And I was just looking forward to it. And, you know, accidents happen. But the fact that he still gets to live a life, hopefully he recovers and he can continue to live and comfortably. I mean, his brand will live on regardless if he can play golf or not. I mean, TW will forever be related to golf. So if he can't play anymore, I'm okay. You know, I'll be able to accept it. And I'm just going to have to go to his new putt-putt courses that he's got. You seen those?
Exactly.
In Florida?
Yeah.
It's like Top Golf, but for putting.
Yeah. Like
gourmet food and everything. Looks so nice. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah. Our thoughts go out to the Woods family and Tiger. And we know that, you know, he is strong. And, you know, I believe that he will be okay enough to at least live a normal life. You know, it's a good sign that they moved him to another facility. That means he was stable enough and everything to be moved. And they said he was in good spirits. So
and he got follow-up surgeries too. He had a couple more operations, so it was probably, you know, like you said, you had made a comment to me earlier, you had wished that he was able to have surgeries to the doctors of his choosing a little more at the high professional level.
Emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bummer that it was such an emergency because, you know, I was the EMT for 4 years and I know that, you know, the on-call surgeons sometimes are not the most highly skilled. But hopefully, I mean, he was in a good part of town in big hospitals, so it was probably okay. But I'm glad that they moved him to get him some secondary operations to really give him the best chance.
And I guess he was okay enough because they did say that they didn't take him to the closest trauma center. They took him to, I guess, you know,
the level one, whatever was specific,
you know, the better one. I don't know, but it wasn't it wasn't bad enough where they just took him to whatever was closer. So. Hope he heals up. And like I said, I mean, if he's done playing and, you know, all the stuff he's doing with Golf Digest, like he's becoming more of a teacher. And he's good when he wants to be at explaining golf. I love when he's talking like extra expertise to guys like Jason Day and Dustin Johnson. And they're just like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, because Tiger's like, you know, I feel it in my hands and this and that. And he's like, can you just speak like normally, please? Like, so
he just plays golf with such feel.
He does.
He
does. I mean, it's the opposite of how, actually, I don't know if it's the opposite of how Dustin Johnson plays. The way, if you hear him explain golf.
It's very simple.
You just hit it.
Yeah, you just hit it. I don't understand. You just swing the club 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's not difficult.
No.
It's
just and then when you hit a bad shot, you just hit it again. And then it's fine. You know, like, if I had that mentality, but, you know, he wasn't that way his whole life. He had to learn that trait. But, if Tiger starts showing up on golf TV and stuff like that, I'll be very happy. 'Cause
yeah,
Definitely. If that's what his career is now, I'd be. I was really looking forward to seeing the setup for him teaching like David Spade and Dwayne Wade,
because
that's what he was shooting in California. And I don't know if they're ever release a part of that, you know, of what they did have.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Because he was supposed to go back and be with, was it Drew Brees and somebody else?
Yeah, they said a couple of just NFL quarterbacks. Wasn't sure which ones.
But, yeah. I mean, I hope he comes back, at least in some way. I just we all hope he lives a life. And if this is the time he passes the torch, if Charlie wants to play golf, I think everybody in the world is going to support Charlie, like Charlie Woods like they would Tiger.
Definitely. Well, all right. It was nice talking to you guys, and the comments, let us know what your favorite Tiger moments are.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about those maybe in the next podcast.
That'd be good.
But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll catch y'all next time.
See you guys.